Let me say, the talk was meant to be given by Masoud Hashemi. He couldn't do it because he was thrown into hospital last week and is still there at the moment. This was a survey that we conducted in Massachusetts with 34 dairy farmers. Ours was an in-depth structured survey which took anywhere from an hour and a half to two or three, depending on how talkative the farmers were. They were interviewed at their farms, and I'll show you some of the results. We looked at a range of different things, and what I'm presenting is only a small fraction of what we did. We talked about crop practices, nutrient management practices, animal management practices, a whole range of things. I'm just going to talk a little bit about the nutrient management side of it. As you see, as in many of the surrounding states in our area also, there's a heavy emphasis on nutrient management planning. Farmers have to have a nutrient management plan in place if they want to get any federal assistance. And so many have, and some which haven't would like to do that. You also see that the soil testing is very high by farmers in Massachusetts, dairy farmers. But if we look at that a little closer, a majority do it every year, and that's probably driven by the nutrient management planning. But others, a few, have never done soil testing at all. The reasons for soil testing. Establish nutrient fertilizer, reduce the fertilizer cost, the environment. Which is very similar to this one here, where the farmers are also voicing that as a concern, but adding in, we had to do it because of our EQIP contract to get the federal funds. And so some say because the fertilizer company suggested we do nutrient planning, and some no reason at all for doing nutrient planning. If we look at the types of things that farmers are doing with fertilizer, still a majority of farmers are broadcasting fertilizer. We would, in our education programs, are trying to reduce farmers putting a broadcast application of fertilizer on. A lot are also using starter fertilizer. On heavily manured fields, we would question the use of a starter fertilizer. So we still see this persisting. We see that some side dressing, in excess of 40%, but fewer than that are using a test to determine whether they need to side dress. And so this test, which the pre-side dress nitrogen test, developed by Fred Magdoff and used extensively, isn't always being used to determine whether they should side dress with more fertilizer. When we look at who takes the soil samples, a few of them are taken by the farmers, some by the nutrient management planner, but most by the fertilizer company. And so this is one of the things that is driving some of the nutrient decisions on farms, is the recommendations that come from the fertilizer company when the samples are sent to them, their companies, and then interpreted by the fertilizer salesman. If we look at manure testing, a majority do test manure, but almost a majority don't. And again, this is driven by the farmers who are participating in nutrient management plans. They have been encouraged and required for certification to have a manure test at some time within the last 3 years. They test the manure, but very few of them have ever calibrated a manure spreader. So you know what the nutrients the manure contains, but you don't know how much of those nutrients you're putting on your field. And we've been out on education, twilight meetings on dairy farms. One simple thing we did a few years ago, we laid a sheet of plastic down, had the farmer spread manure over, and we asked the farmers at the meeting to talk about, give their estimate of how much manure was actually being spread per acre on that basis. And in doing that, the farmers, almost without exception, said 20 to 25 ton per acre. At the way he had his fertilizer spreader, manure spreader calibrate operating, it was in excess of 45 ton per acre. And so what farmers think they're putting on, just by a visual interpretation, they have no idea. And this is one simple thing that they could do, which for some reason they don't want to do. They are interested in best management practices. We asked, are there things that you'd like to know about? And a majority says, yeah, we want to know more about BMPs. We asked the same question about spreader calibration. And remember, this is a sit-down discussion, so as we talk about some of these, there's feedback backwards and forwards, but fewer are interested in calibrating a manure spreader. One of the things that we're trying to emphasize in our extension program is end-of-season nitrogen recovery. We get carryover of nitrogen left over from the previous crop, and in this case we're talking about corn for silage. And in our system, we only have manure storage for about 6 months. And so they're forced into putting manure on in the spring before planting, and they have to put manure on again in the fall after the crop is harvested. You might be able to see that this is a spring application, quite a heavy application. The cover crop that's in the foreground is not very vigorous in the spring, and so it was planted probably late. Well, the same thing happens in the fall, spreading manure, and if there's no cover crop growing, then much of that nitrogen will be lost. We asked them about cover crop seeding dates, and the recommended seeding date in our area is September 15 for erosion control, maybe a little bit later, but around about September 15. Most are actually seeding their crops, some cover crops, much later. If we look at when we should seed cover crops for nitrogen recovery, September 8 gives us much more nitrogen recovery than September 15. If we back up one more week, we'll even get more nitrogen recovered by the cover crops. This was actually on that farm that you saw that manure truck, on a different field, but we were doing this on this farm. And as we go later, we recover less nitrogen. If we look at that and use the pre-side dress nitrogen test this spring to look at the levels of nitrate in the soil, the sufficiency level of about 25 parts per million, then the first two dates provided sufficient nitrogen from the previous year's manure, previous fall's manure, plus any that they put on before, without any further application of nitrogen or manure in the spring. Typically, they're putting manure on spring and fall on all of these fields. And so, if they plant cover crops early, then they can get the recovery. Some approaches that we think we need to take is early planting of the corn so they can get the cover crop off, the corn off to get the cover crop in, so timely harvest, and then the early cover crop establishment. We've, through the years, done time of planting dates for corn, and farmers know very well if they delay their planting, they have a drop off in yield. And so you see the it's pretty obvious to the farmer that this occurs, and they know that, but they're always a little bit slow. In fact, very few plant when they begin planting in April when they could in most years. Many are still going on to the middle of May or later, and using long season hybrids, which then mean the corn is not harvested in time to get a cover crop off established. And so the date of harvest of corn is spread right up into October. You can't plant a cover crop if you are not harvesting early enough. So in conclusion, we think that definitely there's many benefits that the farmers can make in terms of their nutrient management. really, with the high price of nitrogen, the high price of corn grain, the farmers could save much in terms of nitrogen fertilizer applied, if they're still applying it, and some are. They could grow hybrids which are a shorter season, which tend to have increased grain quality. And some results I'll show tomorrow show that they also have similar yields to the longer season hybrids. They can plant early, to harvest early, and then establish their cover crop so that they have a whole system approach to corn, silage production, and nutrient management in the farm. And so that's where I'll finish this morning. This field happens to be pretty close to the barn. And so what they really need to do is to think about doing a priority of which fields should get manure and which should not. And so in nutrient management planning, we have a system where we can prioritize which field needs more manure based on its previous history of manure, as well as distance from the farm as well. But really, they need to spread it around.
So when they say they're going to need nutrient management planning, what do they mean by that? I guess when I hear nutrient management planning, that means to me, this is where I'm growing the crop basis rather than where I'm putting on, therefore, I'm trying to balance it and move back to the community.
Yeah.
But it sounds as though that might not be what they mean when they say they're doing nutrient management.
So the question is, what is nutrient management planning mean to the farmer? It's a formal process where they have to input their crop yields, estimate their crop yields, talk about their manure history, talk about risks involved in application of manure and other things in this. So it's a full program of nutrient management planning. It's actually NRCS is now using the Purdue planning model, the NMP. The weakness in it is that nobody is evaluating whether they're following the plan and what they're doing, whether they're really doing it. They're saying they're keeping records, but unless they're actually doing it, so yeah, there's a gap. I believe there's a gap in end-of-season nitrogen management. I think there's a gap in nutrient planning as well, the evaluation of it.
One more question.
Mm-hmm. You know, they do the soil sampling, they keep the records and so forth, but are there levels then, you know, where you can say, based on phosphorus or nitrogen, you cannot put any more on this field? And then what did they do? You know, what happened with that? Like, how is it enforced? Or are there audits to nutrient management plans on a regular basis or not?
In Massachusetts, we have no restriction in the legislative action, or no legislative action, saying what they can or cannot do. There is a standard that NRCS uses, and we do in our planning use phosphorus as an indicator of where manure should or should not go, but there is no formal process to regulate the farmer.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen, thank you.